Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the sunny city of Los Angeles, California, brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything when it's game time. Have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
There's an expression in basketball, and I'm sure it's an expression in other parts of life, but the expression in basketball goes a little something like this. Pros do what they can do and don't do what they cannot. There's other expressions. Some guys will say, make them pay to see what you can't do. The idea is play to your strengths. Play to your strengths. Know who you are. Be true to who you are. Everyone has strengths. Everyone has weaknesses. And play up those strengths. And don't even talk about those weaknesses. Kids or immature adults try and prove to everyone else what they say you can't do can in fact be done. And I get it. I grew up watching Smokin' the Bandit, right? Might be my favorite movie. And in it, the snowman says, snowman says, why are we doing this? And Bandit says, because they said it couldn't be done. But we would all agree that the Bandit, Smokin' the Bandit, was a little bit on the immature side. He pulled it off, run to Texarkana, Texas, and back to get Coors beer. That's bootlegging, son. But the fact is that in sports and in life, as you grow older, you understand yourself. You know what you can and cannot do, and you simply play up to those strengths. Steph Curry is not the best player in the NBA. I've heard people say that. I understand his impact. I think he's a magnificent basketball player. And he's the type of player that his style will be replicated for years to come. We've already seen the next generation of guys learning to play like Steph in the form of Trae Young. Trey, just like Steph, son of a very good player, not an NBA player like Steph. Trey's not as quick or maybe as athletic as even Steph is now, but continues to grow into his body. Had a spectacular season this year for the Hawks in where he played up to his strengths. He's a great shooter. He's a great passer. And he's a clever defensive player that makes up for the fact that he's not terribly athletic, he's not terribly strong, he's not particularly good on defense. It's fascinating because Kyrie Irving, the new rumors out there, Cowherd had this, Stephen A. Smith had this, that it appears that Kyrie Irving's headed to Brooklyn and he'll become a Net. And while I don't think Boston is going to say good riddance, I do think that Kyrie is still in the kind of adolescent stage of being an NBA player, and he may never grow out of it. During their last series in the NBA playoffs against the Milwaukee Bucks, several times over, despite the fact that the assignments were to have him not guard and not switch onto Giannis Antetokounmpo, he did so. Not only was he not supposed to switch onto Giannis, but look, their whole defensive philosophy was to hide Kyrie Irving. Because, kind of like Steph, he's not a great defender. He's got quick hands, he can get steals off the basketball, he can be active, but man-to-man, guarding bigger men, he's not great. He might not even be good. And everyone in the NBA seems to know this, except Kyrie Irving. What's the story of this year? Kyrie wanted to be a leader, and he's not a leader. Why did he want to be a leader? Because everyone said he wasn't a leader. And guess what? He's not. He spent this entire year trying to prove to us he was something that he was not. Ask the Boston Celtics. Ask people in the NBA. Ask his former teammates in Cleveland. Ask people who cover the league. They'll all say he's one of the great closers in basketball. He's the best finishing point guard since Rod Strickland, his godfather, played in the NBA. But he's not a leader, and he's not a great defender, and he's not really a true ball distributor. Might not even be a point guard. He's a lead guard. Whereas Steph Curry is who he is, knows who he is, and doesn't fight that. Late in games, you don't see him switching off and trying to man up like KD does and guard James Harden. You didn't see that. That was Kevin Durant. Why? Because Kevin Durant's 7 feet tall, and even when he gets beat, he can recover because of his length. Whereas Steph Curry, he does what he's supposed to do defensively, stays active, and tries to get steals. And he can play with supreme self-confidence because he knows, look, I know I'm a scorer. I know I'm allowed to get away with some turnovers. I am not your prototypical point guard. When I give up the basketball, I become an off guard. So when I hear, and by the way, this is like a made-up non-controversy, this idea there's lots of haters towards Steph Curry. There's not. Right, there are haters, but those are people on social media who somehow their forced opinion is put up there with real opinions that actually matter. People are either in the camp of he's the best player in the NBA or he's one of the great players in the NBA that does have some flaws. That's not being a hater. But Steph Curry has a chance to do something tonight, which he has not shown to do, nor could most mortal men do, which is lift up a bunch of backups and take down the best team in the Eastern Conference. He might or might not have Klay. He won't have Kevin Durant. He won't have Kevon Looney. They'll be at a talent and depth disadvantage in comparison to the Toronto Raptors and a health disadvantage compared to the Toronto Raptors. They're not expected to win. And if Klay doesn't show up, if Steph can pull off a win there, it's nothing short of miraculous. But the reason that Steph is mostly beloved and more successful at the end of the day with his team as opposed to Kyrie Irving, who runs the risk of ruining the chemistry of an incredible bunch in Brooklyn, right? Like Brooklyn this year feels like the Celtics last year. Lower expectations, and yet they exceeded seemingly all of them. That's because Kyrie is not the pro's pro, does not do what he does and doesn't do what he doesn't do. I mean, look, we've seen this from Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson knew he was good at being Magic Johnson. Being president of a team, making day-to-day decisions when you don't have day-to-day investment, that's not what he does. That's not who he is. We hide it by saying it's not in his brand, but really, just not in his wheelhouse and of what he does best. At least in a position of power like Magic was, you can hire people that know what you don't know to hide for your weaknesses, whereas you can't do that when you're a ball player, right? It's your decision on how you're going to play, even if you have talented guys that can hide those things around you. But Magic wasn't a coach. Magic wasn't a nightly talk show host. Magic's not a president. Magic Johnson is Magic Johnson. Yeah, a bit of an empty suit. But he's got a great smile, and people still have a tendency to gravitate towards him. You know, how many ex-Pittsburgh Steelers are like, man, they only want us to do one thing in Pittsburgh. Yeah, because they want you to do what you do well. They don't want Le'Veon Bell to be a rapper. They want Le'Veon Bell to be a running back. Shocker there. And the crazy part about life is, and look, I've been guilty of this because I think I'm good at multiple things. And by not focusing solely on radio or sometimes focusing on I have had a television show or doing basketball games, it does. I understand the idea your brain sits there and goes like, hey, I have all these other different parts to my brain, which I want to use. I want to explore kind of the boundaries of my intelligence and my capabilities. But if you do one thing at an exemplary level in this life, that's pretty special. And I think maybe that's the thing we're missing as fans. That's the thing that parents miss. And more than anything, that's the thing that stars miss. You know, Garth Brooks once upon a time had an alter ego album. Do you guys remember that? An alter ego album. Of course, it bombed. Why? Because he's good at being Garth Brooks. Singing country songs that he drew from old rock and roll songs or old country songs and made into his own. And he lights up a room with his personality and his performances. That's who he is. Arguably the most, I believe he's the most successful individual performer in the history of American music in terms of record sales. It's crazy, right? He's had HBO, CBS, especially had his own show in Vegas, whatever, which is all about his musical journey. But there was a time in which he wanted nothing to do with being Garth Brooks. He wanted an alternate ego. And you know, he learned, hey, I'm really good at one thing. I'm going to do that one thing. And that's what Steph Curry has learned. I'm really good at being Steph Curry. Are you a point guard? Not really. Are you a two guard? Not really. You're a little bit of both. Are you a great defender? Not really. But I know how to be effective on defense, and when I get the ball or move without the basketball, I'm incredibly effective on offense whether I touch it or I don't. Kyrie Irving spends an entire year trying to prove to us he's a leader, which he is not. He can run a team, which he cannot. And that he's a defender, which he is not. Adults and pros do what they do and don't do what they cannot.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Frank Isola covers the NBA for The Athletic. You can hear him on SiriusXM NBA Radio Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Frank, best guess, you think Klay Thompson plays tonight?
Yeah, I think he plays, Doug. You know, he's a tough guy, number one. He wants to be out there. The big question is going to be how will he do defensively? He's so important to everything that they do on the defensive end of the court. And clearly you could see how it impacted them not having him out there in those last 6 minutes when in the final 5:39, they made just one shot. And, of course, that was the shot by Andre Iguodala.
Yeah. With that being said, I can't help but be impressed. I've said all week, I think this gives us a chance to really gain more respect for what Steve Kerr does. Because Steve Kerr lives in that world of kind of begrudging respect where people say, yeah, they've won championships, but he's had the best players. He didn't have the best players the other night, and his team still found a way to win. And the point that I've tried to make to people is not only did he first come up with this system and style that the Warriors play, but their ability to change from how they play with Kevin Durant to how they play without him, that in fact is coaching. And you look, they're the best third quarter team in the NBA since he got there. And third quarter is an adjustment quarter, right? That's coaching as well. Have you gained the same amount of respect for Steve Kerr that I have during this time in which he hasn't had his whole team?
Absolutely. And, you know, all these championship coaches, they're all winning with great players. And think about what Steve Kerr's had to do. You know, if you look at the Kevon Looney, the way that he played, especially against Houston Rockets, where he was great when he switched out on James Harden. And now all of a sudden you're getting DeMarcus Cousins back, who hadn't played in a long time. You played him 8 minutes in game one. You know, he was okay. And you're taking a big gamble here. You know, you're risking going down 0-2 in the NBA Finals. He starts DeMarcus Cousins. And there were some, you know, touchy moments there with Cousins. You didn't know how he would do defensively. I didn't think that Nick Nurse did a good enough job kind of attacking DeMarcus Cousins. But starting him paid off well. And how about when he brought in Andrew Bogut? Bogut did a terrific job as well. And here you are trying to mix and match. And late in the game, I mean, they have Quinn Cook out there.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like a tribute to the entire organization because the scouting department clearly does a very good job. Player development. And then Steve Kerr having faith in a lot of players that you don't expect. I mean, Quinn Cook had huge moments in that game when he hit those three-pointers. He was good for them defensively. You know, Sean Livingston was struggling in the first half late in the game. He's the one that made the pass to Andre Iguodala. So I thought his use of the roster in that game was really impressive. He put a lot of faith in a lot of guys. I mean, Jordan Bell started game one, didn't play at all in game two. And it seemed like every button that Steve Kerr pushed on a night when he had to, no Durant, and then you lose both Looney and then Klay Thompson, and you still win the game. That, for, I thought, like, for an organization, and including Steve Kerr being at the top of it, I thought that was a great way.
Oh, I do, too. But even in the way in which you look at it, we still, like, we can't say, like, it was Steve Kerr. Like, well, who the hell do you think making these decisions, right? It's not like Bob Myers is coming down and going, like, you know, you should play right now. Like, it's a weird place we're in which we're like, yeah, he's the coach, but they got so many smart guys. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What about Kawhi? How healthy do you think he is?
I think, you know, I was at both games 1 and 2, and there are times, especially when he's trying to sprint back on defense, he kind of like lowers his head, and you can tell that he's laboring just a little bit. Now, it's not preventing him from playing, and he's, you know, he's a tough hombre, especially when he gets, how about when he gets in the paint, he'll drive, and he'll kind of lower his left shoulder into the defender to kind of create that separation and create the contact and still score. You know, he wasn't great in game 2. I mean, they went that long stretch where they weren't scoring a lot either. But if I'm Toronto and I'm Nick Nurse, that's the one guy I'm kind of relying on tonight, because who's been in bigger road playoff games? And, you know, he's won big playoff games in Miami during the NBA Finals. And the last time he played in Oakland when it mattered was that game 1 of the conference finals a couple of years ago when he was having that big game. And then Zaza Pachulia didn't let him land, and he ended up hurting his leg. If Toronto's going to win tonight, it's going to have to be Kawhi Leonard. Just the experience and the talent alone is what's going to have to carry them through.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Frank Isola. Frank, there's a lot of rumors out there. Stephen A. Smith, Colin Cowherd, both saying they're hearing Kyrie Irving telling people that Brooklyn is his destination. You live in New York. You've covered New York sports for the better part of your professional life. Are you hearing the same?
Yeah, Kyrie lives about 2 towns over from me. I have been hearing the same as well, that if he does leave Boston, there's a very good chance it's going to happen. He wants to live in New York, and he seems to have a little bit more faith in the ownership management of the Brooklyn Nets than he does with the New York Knicks. So that's something he apparently is considering. You know, you just wonder what the domino effect will be if it is Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets. Does that mean that Durant is going there? Does that mean that Durant won't go to New York? Would Durant go to New York with Kemba Walker? I will say this, being out in Toronto, and a lot of people from the Warrior organization, now you could sit here and say, what else are they going to say? But there did seem to be kind of like a renewed optimism that Kevin Durant may stay there, maybe on a short-term deal, maybe it'd be a long-term deal, but they're pretty confident. They feel like they have a chance. Maybe like a couple of months ago, they kind of felt like, yeah, it looks like he's leaving, but now they feel a little bit differently, and they claim that he's been in a much better mood. He's been a little bit more engaged. So, and here's the thing, Doug. Yeah, think about how many things could change between now and July 1st, which isn't that far away, but the Kyrie Irving to the Nets definitely seems to be gaining a lot more momentum.
All right, what then of the Knicks? Let's say that happens. They just go all in on Kemba Walker. Like, does that cut them out of the KD thing? Like, what do you think the Knicks do if that in fact becomes a reality?
Oh, I think if they could get Kemba Walker with Kevin Durant, they would definitely be happy coming out of the summer with that. I mean, to me, there's too many people still mention Kevin Durant to the Knicks. Something tells me that that's going to happen. But if the Knicks do lose out on him, the Knicks will just fall back on, well, we're rebuilding, and that's all we're trying to do right now. So, but if they don't get him, remember, they set up this whole off season to go get 2 big guys, and that included trading Kristaps Porzingis. Because if you had kept Porzingis, right now you're going into the next season where you could possibly draft R.J. Barrett with Kristaps Porzingis. Now you don't have Porzingis, and if you don't get Kevin Durant, that would be a big time miss by the New York Knicks. And then would they do something like go after DeMarcus Cousins? As well as DeMarcus Cousins played in game 2, are you going to throw a max contract at DeMarcus Cousins?
No. Plus, he's a center, and he's not a rim protector.
Exactly.
He's not fleet of foot, and he's had injury history. No.
And not a great defensive player. That's a risky one for me. And I understand why Cousins, you know, I give him credit for being out there, and he's got a lot of motivation to win a championship and to get a big contract, but you got to be real careful with DeMarcus Cousins.
No question at all. What are you hearing about the Lakers?
Well, I mean, clearly they're involved in Anthony Davis, but I've been saying all along, you know, now that Magic Johnson is gone, it's like, you know, the one guy that you know is going to be a big supporter of LeBron James is going to be Jason Kidd. We know that they're close. You know that LeBron wanted Jason Kidd either to be the coach of the team or be involved with the team somehow. I just wonder, Doug, what's going to happen if they do strike out? I mean, Bill Plaschke from the LA Times did write from what he was hearing that LeBron may want out. I'm still convinced there's a chance that that could happen, that at some point LeBron just says, you know, this isn't working out in LA. There's no way that he can sit back now and say, this did not go the way that I wanted to. Now, you could point to the injury that he had on Christmas Day. I get all that. But it's really fallen apart in a lot of ways. And who in that organization does he really trust other than Jason Kidd? Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, Phil Jackson, who you know is out there somewhere in Jeannie Buss's ear. I mean, it's a strange situation. I don't think we've heard the last of this with the Lakers, especially if they don't get Anthony Davis. You just wonder what the future may hold for LeBron because they control his future. It's not the other way around.
No question, but I mean, he's not getting traded. He's not going anywhere. His kid's about to start high school. He's been out here a year. Like, he's in the, you guys brought me out of here, you guys fix it. You know, are we a year from now? Maybe you go back in that discussion. But it's not happening after 1 year.
Don't you think, when it's funny you say that, you guys fix it. Do you think that he believes they can fix it?
I don't know. I think he thinks that it will. Look, I think he didn't think much of who he worked with in Cleveland, and they.
No.
You know, I mean, I get that he liked their GM, but he liked him so much he didn't help him get the Lakers job. So. I don't think he's had faith in a lot of people, and they found a way at times to make it good enough. It's not a crazy, difficult, hard issue in his mind to get the right pieces around him. And I don't think he's motivated to force a trade right now because he doesn't want to move his family. And there's no real answer, right? Like, the Knicks aren't the answer. He doesn't want to work for Jim Dolan. You know, he's not going to go to the Clippers. You know, they're not going to trade him to the Clippers. He's not going to the Nets.
Sign and trade for Kawhi Leonard. There you go.
He's not going to Toronto. Like, LeBron James is not moving to Toronto. There's no real...
Well, it's not his choice, though.
Yeah, yes, it is.
How is it his choice?
It's very simple. I'm not going. He's got three commas in the bank. He's like we know the reality of it is, like, LeBron is not going to Toronto. Like, they traded him to Oklahoma City. He's not going. He's not going to trip to New Orleans. He's not going.
You think he would walk away?
Yes.
From his contract.
I don't think he'd walk away. I just say I'm not doing that. And that's the reality of where he is in his status and his stature. He's not doing that.
It's an interesting contract that he signed. The fact that he didn't include a no trade clause and didn't do what he had been doing for how many years, where he just signed basically 1 year contracts with the option to keep renewing after another year or opting out.
And by the way, Genie's not trading him anyway. This only makes sense from the standpoint of you panic because it was dysfunctional. Magic left. There's all this other infighting. Like, look, they were a good team even with a flawed roster. They fixed the roster. They'll be fine. I honestly believe that. I don't think Genie's not trading him, and he doesn't want to be traded. But
don't you also think that the team is at like a different time? Like, he's at a different place in his career than the rest of the team. Like,
yes.
Yeah, if you go get Anthony Davis, that changes things. But it's like this young team. It's like we're trying to build with young players. Oh, and we also have LeBron James, and you're in the Western Conference. It's not easy. They better make a big bold move this summer. They need to.
Well, I definitely think they'll make some moves this summer. I don't know if they'll get Anthony Davis. We'll see. I don't know what they have to give up. I don't know who else is. There's plenty of other guys who could, in fact, be available. Last thing, Houston's kind of gone under the radar nationally. We've talked about it a bunch. You know, from the Fertitta comments, and he's made a couple of them, to having him get rid of his bench staff and dictating that from above. Then everybody becomes available outside of James Harden via trade. And then Mike D'Antoni breaks off contract extension talks. What do you think Houston looks like when they take the floor next year?
That's an interesting one. I think that James Harden is going to be on that roster. And how is Chris Paul not going to be there? Is someone really going to go out and trade for Chris Paul? I actually think that the Rockets are overreacting a little bit. You know, we keep talking about the Golden State Warriors kind of being this all-time team. That's who they lost to. And I get it. You know, last season was a major disappointment. You're up 3-2. Chris Paul gets hurt. You don't play well in Game 7. And this year was a bigger disappointment because you didn't have to face Kevin Durant. You blew it in Game 5 and you lost that home game. I still think it's a little bit of an overreaction by that organization. I just think they're losing to the better team. And to fire every assistant coach, I don't think that's the answer. I think that's like rearranging the furniture in your house. It's not really you know, might look different, but it's not, I don't know necessarily think it was a smart thing to do. I think there's a couple of moves that they could make and, you know, give it your best shot next year, especially if Kevin Durant's not going to be there. You don't know what the future holds for him. If Kevin Durant leaves the conference, why can't you be the best team in the Western Conference next year?
Well, I think their argument would be, Fertitta's argument was, well, we played them without Kevin Durant and they still beat us.
Yeah.
And they still beat us, and Chris Paul's not going to get any younger, and Clint Capella's still not going to be able to play at the end of games. So that would be...
They should have thought about that before they invested all that money in Chris Paul. The contract is just starting now. It's incredible.
Yep. Great stuff, Frank. Look forward to hearing your radio show tomorrow. Recapping tonight's game, you can hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Read his work in The Athletic. He's Frank Isola. Frank, great work. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The NFL, over the past couple of years, has been trying to find different ways to generate revenue. And one of the things they had to do was they had to first pay off the concussion lawsuit. And from people I've talked to, it's one of the things that started the whole discussion about expansion back into the L.A. market. And there's now actually been three teams that will move. Now, why does that matter? Well, look, if you're the owners, and the owners thought the concussion lawsuit would cost them $2 billion, it's going to cost them about $1 billion total. If you're the owners, you're like, look, some of these guys haven't been NFL owners for that long, let alone when all these guys were suffering concussions and being thrown back out there. They don't want to pay any money for this. There's no insurance that covers it. They got to foot the bill collectively, all 32 teams. So what's the best way to do so? Well, when you move teams around, there's what's called a relocation fee. It's like $750 million. Do the math on what three teams moving is. You know, that's over $2.25 billion in relocation fees. And it gets put into a pool. What do you think they're doing with that money? Well, some of it they're using for themselves and for the league, but some of it they're and to upkeep their facilities and their stadiums, etc. Whatever they have to pay, they're paying off. But the big thing is they're paying off the lawsuit with it. So now how do we continue to generate more revenue? Well, they started the Thursday night package. Then they split the Thursday night package into two. Then they consolidated the Thursday night package, all while keeping the NFL network afloat, and gave it to Fox for more money. Even though the ratings didn't determine it should be worth more money, they still got more out of it. They play more games in England. They're going to play a game in China. They played games in Mexico City. Not only do these games generate revenue in terms of the stadiums while taking away from the revenue from these teams' home stadiums, but also oftentimes gives you a different TV window, which they can make more money doing. But at some point, you get tapped out. At some point, there's just no more we can do with what we got. There's a limit in this market. That's why they're talking about a team in London. Because a team in London, or whether you move Jacksonville to that, would again create a new TV window. And you don't even have to have a new team. But players want more money. Players want guaranteed money. Guaranteed money means more money because these guys are going to get hurt. And even though it's covered by insurance, the insurance is costly. The game is more physical. It's hard to keep players healthy. And yet, everybody wants more. How do you get there? More regular season games. Maybe another playoff game. And the way you know we're working that way is that Roger Goodell has floated earlier this week the idea of, you know, four preseason games is too much. Two is more ideal. And I told you yesterday, and I'll tell it to you blue in the face, it may sound like Rod's just being a good guy. Too many games, too much contact, not great, you know, not great for us to pay. Like, do you really think he's going to go to these cities who have helped build these beautiful stadiums and go, hey, here's the thing. Not only am I taking away a regular season game and sending it to London where you get nothing, or your bars get nothing, your parking gets nothing, all your vendors get nothing, but I'm also going to take away a preseason game. No, it's bad business. Here's what I'm going to do. We'll take away a preseason game. Nobody cares about your regular season game. 18 games. Makes sense. We can push back the Super Bowl. We can have the double bye. More is, in fact, more. More revenue, more money. Everybody's happy. Well, there is an issue there that is the underlying issue to why 16 is kind of a magic number. This is Tony Dungy earlier today on Pro Football Talk.
I think it would be a mistake. I think one of the things that's great about the NFL now is every game matters. You've got these tight races. 16 games is a lot. You want to get into the playoffs. You want people to be ready to play
right.
meaningful games in January. I'm watching the NBA playoffs now, and you see the effect of this long season.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard limping up and down the floor.
Right.
Kevin Durant out.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson maybe out. That's not what people want to see in the playoffs.
You're right.
I have to think, you know, we would get some of the same thing if you add more games. And I don't think it would be good for the players. I don't think it'd be good for the product.
I tend to agree with him. I don't know if the Kawhi Leonard comparison, considering Kawhi missed all those games with load management, is the parallel. The easiest one to point to is the NFL. Look at the teams who have quarterbacks that are injured and how they do in terms of the playoff race, usually very poorly. And the more games means the more exposure, in addition to which you already have a run of older quarterbacks who start to fade down the stretch. You might not have the right personnel on the field late in the playoffs. And if you don't, the Raiders didn't a couple years ago without Derek Carr. I know the Eagles won a Super Bowl without Carson Wentz, but that's the exception, not the rule. You want the stars playing when it matters most. It's one of the reasons I believe you got to cap it where we are in college football. More games, you're going to lose more players. There's just the attrition of a football season. But the reason we're talking about 18 games is the same reason that Roger Goodell is talking about eliminating two preseason games. It all works together. And the way Raj is going to sell it, and the NFL owners are going to sell it is, hey, look, we're going to add more players to your everyday roster. We add five spots, that's 160 jobs. And while the union heads may say, no, 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 we want guarantee money, we want this, they go like, okay, go back to your union, tell 160 of your members that pay dues, that are out of work, that they can't get an NFL job, because you want guaranteed contracts, which is going to be more expensive, and it's going to keep us from hiring 160 new workers. It's all negotiation, because the NFL is kind of tapped out of their, in terms of their ability to go and squeeze money out of everybody for now.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There was an outstanding documentary that had its premiere last Friday night in L.A. It's the Ron Artest story. NBA player Ron Artest, now known as a Meta World Peace, become an outspoken advocate for the importance of mental health among athletes. You can watch this show on Showtime or on demand on Showtime. It's really a remarkable journey through his life, and Matt is kind enough to join us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How are you?
Doing great, Doug. Good to speak to you. How you been?
Good, man. What's it like to see your story on a big screen?
It's different. We saw a premiere, and on the premiere we saw it at this theater, the American Academy Theater. It was huge. You know, then we had another premiere in New York at Bleacher Report's office. It was, you know, a little bit smaller. And I was like, wow, it's the first time I've ever been on a big screen for that long. And this is an actual movie, you know, it's a real movie. It's been kind of overwhelming. I'm looking forward to the response and people, you know, telling me what they think about it, and looking forward to the next one.
It's pretty brave, though. Some of the things you've done are really, really brave. You know, look, I'm sure you made a lot of money. You could just kind of go on about your way, be meta, kind of do your thing, continue to raise mental health awareness. Why open yourself up? And share so much of your story?
I mean, I didn't want to do it, but, you know, they came and they requested my story. You know, Bleacher Report's working on some new initiatives and Showtime. And, you know, this story that they launched with me is going to propel them to do more documentaries like this. So I was actually like kind of maybe like a test story. It's probably one of the first ones. And they're going to be doing more programming, you know, like this. So it wasn't my idea. was a thing from, you know, Bleacher Report.
Okay, so now that you've seen it, were you like, man, I wish that part wasn't in it? is there any bitterness at all in watching it?
Some of the parts, you know, some of the ones I didn't want to revisit, but it's okay, you know, everybody's perfect. So I didn't really mind having that much stuff inside. So many times people hide, or so many times people glamorize on social media, or whatever the case may be, living lifestyles they're not really living, or lifestyles that is just too stressful to upkeep. You know, so I thought then you give more vulnerability and more normalization, I thought was better.
Metal War Peace joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. When you watch the Warriors steal a game and they don't have Clay, they don't have KD, DeMarcus plays more than people thought, they don't have Kevon Looney, like, does that say more about them or more about Toronto?
Curry. It says more about Curry. Curry steps up to the occasion. You know, it's like you tell him it's a cocktail party, he's going to come in a bow tie. You know, you tell him he's just going to the beach, he's going to come in sandals. You know, and the harder, the tougher the competition, the more adversity, the tougher he gets. He just locks in. You know, he's an amazing player. And it's hard to prepare for him because he can shoot the ball so well.
Yeah, he is an amazing player. It's also interesting that he's, you know, look, there's stereotypes of guys, right? Like if you grew up, you go to a private school, you grew up and you got two-parent home, you grew up and he's light-skinned. Like everybody thinks, well, he's got to be soft and entitled and he's just a shooter. But there is an inherent kind of toughness and tenacity in him, which sometimes gets overshadowed because of the shots he makes.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You got to be tough to consistently make shots like he made them. Now, I mean, so many things come into play when you talk about basketball and mental toughness. You know, some people got mental toughness, but they probably been through a lot, you know, and it's hard. You know, it's hard for them to focus. You know, like I got my mental toughness is up there with the best of them, but then I also had other issues that led me to be distracted, right? But it doesn't really necessarily say I'm not mentally tough. You know, you look at Michael Jordan, mentally tough, and he grew up with both parents. You know, Michael Jordan was, I don't think he was growing up gangbanging.
Right.
You know? So, but that's still toughness, right? Or you get a guy like Kareem Butler, whose brother was shot, or Iman Shumpert, whose brother was shot, or Kawhi Leonard, whose dad passed away. And they're tough also. So mental toughness, you know, it's always in the person. And, you know, you can never, like, you know, it's hard to just place on one person why this person is more mentally tough than the other. You know, it's all about timing and upbringing and all that stuff.
Yeah, you kind of either have it or you don't, right? Or,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you either have it or you don't. Metal World Peace joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so they might not have Clay tonight. How hard is it to play from your perspective on what seems like a pulled hamstring?
It's hard. A pulled hamstring. You can get through it if you're tough enough. You can get through it if you're good enough. You can get through it. A strain, a pulled. No, you can't get through that. A strain, yes. You can actually make it work. What really helps a hamstring is if your hips is mobilized. So if he's doing things to mobilize his hips and ankles, then when he's running, you won't be using as much of the hamstring muscle. But if you're not stretching, not necessarily stretching the hamstring, but if your hips is not stretched, ankles are not stretched, then your hamstring is going to require more work. So you want to minimize the work of the hamstring, so you can actually play through it, and I'm sure they have the doctors to execute that.
What do you think of Kawhi? What do you think of Kawhi? What's your personal opinion of Kawhi?
I love Kawhi. You know, I think he's my favorite player. I don't think he's the best player in the NBA. I think Giannis is the best, but Kawhi is personally my favorite.
You don't put Kevin Durant in that conversation? Seem to have lost Meta World Peace. We'll get
Hello?
Back. Go ahead.
Yeah, you said, no, I'm here. You said, what was your last part of the question?
I said you don't put KD in that conversation. You said you think Giannis is the best. Kawhi is your favorite. Where's KD in that conversation?
I have to pick one when you say one, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, it's hard. So, you know, Giannis is the best to me. I feel like he can't be stopped.
Wasn't he just... Didn't that just happen?
You said what?
Wasn't he just stopped? I mean, like, look, he struggled to get to the rim against Toronto,
and he showed. He's only 23 years old.
No, I'm not saying he's not eventually going to be better, but his inability to consistently shoot the basketball, especially.
But nobody can shoot. Nobody could shoot consistently when they first came in. Nobody was able to shoot. LeBron couldn't shoot. Magic couldn't shoot. Jason Kidd couldn't shoot. And I trust the process. I trust that he will be able to shoot. That kid, he hit some big shots in the playoffs. He hit some threes. So that shows you he's further ahead than last year.
What happens with the Lakers this offseason? Your opinion.
You said what?
What happens with the Lakers this offseason?
Lakers going to be great. If you think about it, the Lakers, they finished fourth. Let's just say that. LeBron and Lonzo don't get hurt. They're finishing fourth. This year, they'll be better. The roster's going to be better. I think bringing in Magic last year was I thought that was smart. He brought a lot of excitement, you know, to the Lakers. And I think some of the free agents that they got, I don't know if they would have gotten them. Maybe they would have. And now that Magic is gone, and now you have the new coach, and Pelinka's going to be kind of overseeing basketball operations, they're gonna attract more talent. LeBron he's been very, very stable throughout this, you know, kind of issues.
Yeah,
and that's the type of player you want to play with, you know. And everybody's very focused. The media and the fans, you know, I think we all made it a little bit more than what it was. Every day talking about it. But the Lakers are going to be very, very good. I'm excited to be going to the games and get some free tickets.
I mean, I get that we made it, but didn't we make a big deal of it? Because Magic, I mean, like, look, Magic called Pelinka a backstabber. Magic called out everybody in the organization. Yeah. And Magic's like, oh, look, I love the Lakers. And then he killed the Lakers. We're making a big deal because Magic made a big deal about it.
No, I get it. I don't mean to put all that on the media. Absolutely, something had to make those stories come out.
Right,
but I would say maybe I'm more protective of Jeannie because I feel like people are asking who's running the organization. Jeannie can't run an organization. Jeannie, anything, she's not like tough enough. I mean, if you fire your brother, I don't know what else is tough. I mean, she clearly is tough enough, you know, to run the organization. She's more tougher than some men. You know, what man would do that? And I think, like, you got to give, you know, her an opportunity to do what she does. And actually, you don't have to give it. She's going to do it anyway. She's not listening to anyone. You know, she's running this franchise. You know, her name is on that signature. Nobody else's name is on that signature, no matter what anybody says. So how I feel about the Lakers, being a Laker fan, I feel like they're going to be okay. I feel like they wasn't the best team last year, and this year I think they'll be second or third.
Great stuff, Meta World Peace. Check out the documentary on Showtime, the Ron Artest story, Quiet Storm. Quiet Storm is the name. It's on Showtime and Showtime On Demand. Meta, let's catch up in person. Really appreciate you joining us, and congrats on the doc.
Hey, man, I just want to say thanks for having me. And everybody, if you can, hit up my website, thepandasfriend.com, and Fox. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Ron Artest, Meta World Peace. Quiet Storm is the doc.